Good morning.
For those who don't know who I am, my name is Nick Eaton. I am the Interim Director of Youth Ministries here at Oakwood. I would like to take a few minutes and recognize our graduating seniors for this year. So as I call your name, if you can come up here, that would be awesome. Andrew Famiano, I believe, is not here today. Caleb Grubbs. Zeke Bullman. Brian Crowfoot, Mary Dow and Sherry Dow, Caitlin Larson, and Hannah Flatt. All right, so the youth group, otherwise known as Rooted, wants to present you guys with a Bible to take on with you through life as you go off wherever you're going. So we are going to present those to you. As we present them to you, I would like you, if you're comfortable, to say where you're graduating from and what your plans are for the future. So start with Caleb. You can take that.
I graduated from Heritage Christian Academy, and I'm going to Paris Island for Marine Corps boot camp next Sunday. I'll be back in December as a reservist from Battle Creek.
I am graduating from my Bowman homeschool family, and I will be going to KVCC.
I graduated from Schoolcraft High School, and I'll be going to Kalamazoo Valley Community College in the fall.
I graduated from Port Central, and I'll be continuing in the EMC program for my fifth year at KVCC.
I graduated from homeschool. I was homeschooled too. And this year, I'm thinking I'll just take a year off and work and save up money and just follow God's will for my life.
Because we did not get to do this last year due to COVID, I do want to recognize the seniors from last year as well. I know at least one of them's here. So Silas Galler, who is serving the church up in the sound booth. Thank you, Silas. He graduated from Mattawan, and he right now is working with Mark in construction, his dad, Mark, for those who didn't know. Then Connor Meyer, he graduated Portage Central High School. He's not here, but he graduated last year, and I'm trying to remember where he goes to school. Grand Valley? All right, he goes to GVSU. So if you're watching, congratulations. And then the last is Grant Ruza. He graduated from Plainwell Renaissance High School. So, yeah, we're going to say a quick prayer. And wish these guys luck. Keep in mind, Caleb is leaving next Sunday, so keep him especially in your prayers as he's going off to basic. All right. Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful group of teens, adults now. As we send them out, I pray that you be with them, keep them in the Word, keep them close to you. Remind them daily that they have been called to spread the gospel, to go to the four corners of the earth and spread your word and to make disciples. Lord, bless them, keep them safe. And I also pray for the graduates from last year as well. I pray that you be with them. I ask these things in your son's name. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
And Nick, this woman that's with you, that's your wife, Skye.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I apologize. I knew I missed.
Don't apologize to me. All right. Good morning, everybody. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. And as you're turning there, I had a piece of paper, and I've lost my piece of paper. Where did it go? I lost it. Does somebody have a bulletin handy? Do you have a bulletin handy?
You want the book?
No, the bulletin. Okay. There's one right there, because I had all my cheat sheet information in here. Of course. because this is a valuable commodity. You can have that. You can have that part. Oh, I thought that's the part you wanted. You wanted this part. Yeah, that's the good part. No, I need this right here. So, this is so cool because there's a visitor we have with us today for the first time in our church. And her name is Evangeline Maya, Eva. Congratulations, Mike and Brandy Strunk. She's right over there. So, that's awesome. So, born on June 9th at 4:08 a.m., weighing 6 pounds, 11 ounces. And, wow, first day in church. That's awesome. Wonderful news. And congratulations to the Crowfoot gang as well. All right, we're in Acts chapter 12. We're going to look at the very last verse in Acts chapter 12 and then move into chapter 13 and for our study. I'm just so glad that you're able to join us this morning, and also for those who are watching online, we're going to jump into God's word here. In verse 25, Acts 12. Here our writer Luke writes this, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, and when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time.' And immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw that what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing at the hearing and the reading of his word this morning." Dave and Barb were new believers that God was growing and maturing. But Barb's discovery of Dave's failure with pornography and an emotional affair with a woman who lived next door threatened to destroy their marriage. As you can imagine, Barb was devastated. In her mind, the marriage was over. Dave, of course, was a broken man. He apologized profusely for his failure, and he begged her to forgive her. Of course, over time, they contacted me and asked if I could help as their pastor. And we began working through the book, The Peacemaker, by Ken Sandy. And at one point, I challenged Barb to see what God says in his word about forgiveness. I told her that if you decide to forgive your husband, you'll need to forgive Dave based on what God is showing you, not from what I'm telling you. I told her that she needed to forgive Dave based on what God would have her do and not based on her husband's groveling. I told her that you need to spend time in God's Word. You need to find some time to be in God's Word, to study it, to find your answers from God alone and not from me with what you should do with your husband. As you can imagine, it was a desperate situation. Now, it's very easy for us to conclude that the preaching of God's word should be relegated to those who stand in pulpits on Sunday mornings, regaling their parishioners with the timeless truths of the Bible. However, throughout the New Testament, we are taught that all those who profess Christ should be about the business of proclaiming God's word. Of course, there are two ways to make proclamation, either through what you say or by how you live. Someone has said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Be that as it may, the bottom line is that all of us as Christ followers need to be doing all we can to preach the word. And as we do, we need to bring others with us, making sure that we continue to grow in our relationship with our Savior through the practice of spiritual disciplines like fellowship, worship, fasting, and prayer. And as we follow our calling, we need to make sure we keep the main thing, through always being ready to preach Christ and Him crucified. At the same time, there will also be those who come along offering a false gospel. There will always be usurpers and manipulators who are more interested in themselves than they are the good news of Christ. The Bible states that we need to beware of false prophets. And oftentimes, false prophets are just opportunists who are trying to gain some personal advantage for themselves. But know for certain they are plainly in opposition to Christ. When this happens, call it what it is, and then watch God have His way with them. In the end, as we stay faithful to living out and proclaiming His powerful word, not only will our lives be transformed, but so will the lives of those around us. Fulfill your ministry. Our message series is Spread the Word. Today, we're focusing in on fulfilling our ministry. Paul's first missionary journey is to the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean. Today, we really have a lesson in Ministry 101. Here's years later, after his first ministry trip, Paul reminded Timothy what ministry should be about with these words. Paul wrote, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." From Paul's perspective, there's no way to fulfill our ministry unless we're preaching God's word in a ready expectation to all those who would hear. Well, I have a map for you. I worked hard on this all week to have this beautiful map for you so you can know where we are. I'm starting off over here in Antioch, and they went south to Seleucia, then they sailed to the island of Cyprus here. They start over here in Salamis, and then they walk the island over to Paphos. That's where we're going to end up. This is the rest of the journey. Stay tuned for that in the weeks to come. But that's where we are today in our study. But before we tear this apart, let's ask God's help. Would you please pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. Lord, we just ask that you bless our time and your word together. Help us to engage and to hear what you have to say about things. Lord, we long to hear what you have to say more than all else. We don't want to hear from this speaker. We want to hear what you have to say through your word. May we be attentive. May we tune in. May we engage. So, Lord, have your way with us. Be our teacher by the power of your Spirit through your word, we ask. Thank you, Lord, for this brief moment in time that we have to spend in your word. Help us not to miss anything you might have for us. We pray this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined from the material that you received this morning, I encourage you to follow along in our message. And by the way, I just want to remind you that this is important. If you want to stay engaged with what we're doing, take notes so you know what's going on. And you can look back and reflect on what we talked about today. But here's the first truth in our study. Preach the word. Preach the word. And as you do, bring others with you. Notice what it says in verse 25. "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark." This is, of course, John Mark, who ends up writing the Gospel of Mark. He's a young man at this time. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Beloved, this was an incredible group of guys. I mean, think about it. First, you have Barnabas with them. Who's Barnabas, a.k.a. Mr. Encouragement? And by the way, it's always good to be an encouraging influence in the world, isn't it? Mr. Encouragement, son of encouragement, literally. Then there was Simeon here. And you go, well, who's Simeon? Whose name was Niger. Of course, Niger has the Latin root for black. In all likelihood, he was an African. It's also possible that he is the very Simeon, or if you will, the Simon of Cyrene, who was asked to carry Jesus' cross on the way to Golgotha from Matthew 27:32. If it was that guy who carried Jesus' cross, what a story he would have had to tell. Then there's Lucius of Cyrene. Lucius, of course, is a Roman name, likely a Roman citizen. And then Manaen, perhaps a former friend of Herod Antipas. Well, that's the Herod who had the power, who was in power when Jesus was put to death all those years ago. Saul, a Jew, of course, among Jews, a former Pharisee who had recently given his life to Christ. And then there's this young man, John Mark, as I mentioned, who ends up writing the Gospel of Mark through his experiences. Beloved, when you're going to do ministry, it's always best to bring others with you. It's good to build a posse, if you will. And this is exactly what Jesus and his disciples did. They brought others with them. Now, I'd like to remind you how Jesus did precisely that. It won't be on the screen, but we read in John chapter 1 exactly how Jesus picked out his disciples. And notice how as Jesus picked disciples, they then go grab other people. In John 1:35, it says, the next day again, John, that is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and you'll see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, by the way, the other disciple is likely John, the one who wrote the very text we're reading right this moment. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we found the Messiah. So here's a guy, the minute he understands who Jesus is, he goes and gets his brother. We found the Messiah, which means Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. I love this about Jesus. He's got nicknames for these guys. First times he sees Simon, he's like, hey, Rocky. Now, I always wonder, is he a big guy or a little guy? You know, hey, Rocky, or hey, Rocky. I don't know. But Jesus has nicknames for these guys. He's gregarious. He's fun-loving. Two of the guys he calls the Sons of Thunder. I mean, Jesus is a cool guy to hang out with. You're going to be called Cephas, which means Peter, Petros, rock. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael. See, they go get it. He gets another guy. And he said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, well, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You'll see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Years ago, Kathy and I planted a church. But to do so, we needed to build a team. It just so happened the summer before we planted, I ran into a comedy improv team from Cornerstone University where I met this young man named Kyle Bushry. And I said to Kyle, hey man, I'm going to be planting a church. You want to help me out? He goes, yeah, I want to be a part of that. Awesome. Kyle, of course, invited his fiance. And of course, another kid on the team, his name was Luke Rumley, a guitar guy. I needed somebody to help with worship. So now Luke joins the team, and he brings his girlfriend with him. And by the way, these guys are all happily married now, years later. And then they brought Seth because he played bass. And then David Hoflinger joined us. Another young man, Matt Yoder, came and joined us. And then Bill Vandegeisen joined us. And then Joe Bragg. You don't know all these people, but man, I do. And I saw what God did in and through these guys as we built this posse, this team to go proclaim God's word. It was incredible. As you preach the word, bring others with you. By God's grace, all of these guys are serving the Lord to this day. And most of them are in full-time Christian ministry. That kid, Kyle Bushry, that's Dr. Kyle Bushry now, who planted a church in Detroit. Incredible. Doxa Church in Detroit, Michigan. Dave Hoflinger is a worship pastor in Manistee. Bill Vandegeisen is a senior pastor at the Lawton Evangelical Church. Joe Bragg is on staff here in town with Youth for Christ. Incredible ministry multiplication. Matt Yoder and Luke Rumley, they're all businessmen who continue to faithfully serve as laymen in their own churches. Put together a posse, get people to join you, and then go preach the gospel, and then watch God change lives. Secondly, stay on top of your spiritual disciplines. Notice what's going on in verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and what? Fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Spiritual disciplines in the early church. We too, as we proclaim the gospel, need to make sure that we continue in our growth in the gospel by staying close to our spiritual disciplines. And maybe you feel like, well, I just feel so distant from the Lord. I just don't feel like, hey, what are you doing? Grab his word. Stay close to God's truth. Notice how they're in fellowship, right? Notice how it says they were worshiping. They laid hands on them. For this to be the case, you have to have a they. And as there is a they all had to be together in a community of fellowship, and that was good. And what were they doing in their community of worship? Doing exactly that, worshiping the Lord, honoring God for who he is and what he has done. And of course, they were fasting too. Fasting, why is that important? Well, what is fasting? Abstaining from food or drink or both for a period of time, 1 day fast, perhaps a 2 or 3 day fast. Early on in Jesus' ministry, 40 day fast, that's pretty intense. Purposeful fasting. Maybe you could fast for holiness and seeking victory over sin. Perhaps you could fast over your own failure or brokenness. Or maybe fasting and thanksgiving for all that God has done for you. Or fasting over a petition with God, over a lost loved one. Or fasting over a deeper relationship with him. But what else were they doing? They were praying, spending time in prayer, praising him, seeking him out in their hearts and minds. Of course, as they're gathered together, they're giving of their time, their talent, their treasure. And of course, the centerpiece of our spiritual walk must be God's word. Are you reading it? The only way to know God and what he desires for you is through his word. Incidentally, I'd like to remind all of you this morning that you are the one who's ultimately responsible for your spiritual growth. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not my responsibility. If you feel like you've become stagnant in your growth and walk with the Lord, that's on you. We need to take responsibility for our growth. We can create an environment for it to happen. We'll try to preach God's word. But then you need to turn to him. If you need some great resources, there are some wonderful books out there on this, like The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer, or The Hunger for God by John Piper, or if you're a guy, Disciplines of a Godly Man. We'll talk about spiritual discipleship and disciplines to exercise by Kent Hughes. Great resources for you to consider. Now notice it was in the midst of these men walking with God in fellowship, worship, fasting, prayer, and God's word that they were given clear direction from the Holy Spirit. It's in the midst of this that the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to send these guys out. Preach the word. Stay on top of your spiritual disciplines. Thirdly here, follow your calling. Follow your calling, because that's exactly what these guys did, is they were called to be sent out. Verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They went down, they set sail, they got going, didn't they? Yes, they did. And I ask you, what is God calling you to do today? What is your calling? Where do you need to go? Who do you need to talk to? Who are you praying for to receive Christ even right now? Time is running short for our opportunity. Let's get going as a church, as a ministry. Let's get going as individuals, seeking to touch hearts and lives with the truth of His Word. Preach the Word through following your calling. Fourthly here, keep the main thing, right? When they arrived at Salamis, what'd they do? They proclaimed the word of God. They didn't go on a sightseeing tour and cool, I see all the sights here. Let's stay in the hotel pool for a while. No, they proclaimed the word of God. The main thing is for us to keep the main thing. And the main thing is God's word. By the way, God's word is all I have to say each Sunday. By the way, you don't want me saying anything other than what He has to say, right? And by the way, I'm just coward enough to hide behind His word. Because this is the power of God to make any difference. Let's make sure that we stay on task as we share with others His truth. The proclamation of the word of God is indeed the main thing. That's what we need to be about. That's what we need to do. And that is exactly what we're doing in this very moment. Preach the word. Secondly, this morning, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. First of all, they are often opportunists, as is the case here in our account. Verse 6, when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, remember on the west side of that island of Cyprus, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Here's this authority on the island who wants to hear truth. But false prophets are often involved in shady enterprises. He's a certain magician. Oh, really? They often seek audiences with powerful or influential people. In this case, the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence and influence, we're told. These false prophets are the kind of people who are trying to appear spiritual. They're trying to appear intellectual or knowledgeable, but we need to beware of false prophets. Why? Because secondly here, they are clearly in opposition to Christ. Notice what it says in verse 8. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Are you hearing that? He's opposing them. And in opposing these men of God, he's opposing Christ. By the way, the New Testament is just not silent about false prophets. Matthew 7:15, this is what Jesus said about them. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Oh, they'll look pretty sheepy. They'll maybe even smell like one. Meh. But there really is a wolf underneath the skin. And by the way, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Are they? No. Peter writes, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. They're sneaky sometimes. even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. Because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Severe warnings about false prophets. John, in 1 John 4, says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." Any questions? This is not complicated, is it? Of course, Jesus says in Matthew 24, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." He goes on in verse 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. They will put on quite a show." It could be quite awesome. "So as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." By the way, that's not possible. "But see, I've told you beforehand," Jesus says, "I've warned you, beware of false prophets. And when you do encounter one, what should you do? Call it what it is." That's exactly what Saul does here in verse 9. "But Saul, who was also called Paul," so finally we can get past that little issue, the name change. Now from here on, he is Paul. "Filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him," this magician guy. Can you imagine the glare he's got, right? The stare down. Really? Little magician fellow. "And he says, 'You son of the devil.'" Well, no mincing words here. "You son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Call it what it is. "You're lost, you're wrong, away with you. Son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, making crooked the straight paths of God." You know, throughout history, there have been all kinds of villains like this. Think back in history, we think like the likes of Rasputin, who corrupted the royal family of Russia and unwittingly helped them in their demise, as all of them ended up being put to death, sadly. Or in literature, we think of Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings, and we think of Grima Wormtongue. Anybody remember that? Grima? Man, a guy, you just look at him and you're like, ugh. You don't want him asking your daughter out on a date for any reason. Of course, he corrupted King Theoden of Rohan, and Gandalf dealt with him in no uncertain terms. And of course, Grima ended up destroying himself through his own treason. Beloved, over the years, I too have had my share of having to chase away from the flock some false prophets and teachers. These days, they usually show up espousing huge conspiracy theories. That's what's going on right now. And by the way, I just want you to know, I'm just absolutely not interested in your conspiracy theories. I am only interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm only interested in Christ and Him crucified. Long ago, when I was called into ministry at our home church in Wisconsin, the senior pastor there, my pastor, Pastor Don Christensen, as we were leaving, he gave me this volume, Handbook of Today's Religions by Josh McDowell and Stewart. And he wrote an inscription on the front here, and this is what my pastor gave me. He says, "Brad, one of the major roles of an under-shepherd is to protect the flock from false teaching and false teachers. Being a man of the Word, God has equipped you for this work and will give you the wisdom and discernment necessary to complete the task. May He use this book as a resource to help you do battle with the evil one. On behalf of Faith Community Church, let me say thank you, and that we love you, we believe in you, and we'll pray for God's blessing upon you and Kathy as you step out in faith to serve Him full time. Sincerely, Pastor Don Christensen." Look, guys, it's kind of like this. Right? What did David say? Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff used for guidance and correction. Hey, you over here, follow me. Over here. Wolf, get out of here. It's called protecting the flock. And if I sense a wolf, man, I'm going to get my bat and look out. Because I won't let you chew on my sheep. Why? Because you're his sheep. We need to take these things seriously. There are people who are dubious, who want to take advantage of people. And they're all about themselves and not about the gospel. Beware of false teachers. Call it what it is. Knowing full well that fourthly here that God will ultimately have his way with them. And he will. Look what happens in verse 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. Paul says to this magician guy, and you'll be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this incredibly fascinating that it's the Apostle Paul who's saying these things. Why? Why is this so amazing? What's the irony in Paul saying these things? Because he too was blinded by the Lord himself. Why? Because he was in opposition to the gospel, trying to destroy Christians. You get the point. And here's Paul saying, you know, hey, been there, done that, and now it's on you. You'll be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. And immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. God will most certainly have his way with people. Those who are determined to walk in disobedience to God's clear direction through his word will always, always, always suffer for it. Just watch. God will always have his way in God's economy and his time. David recalls God's hand on him. Remember King David when he sinned with Bathsheba? And Psalm 32 won't be on the screen. Listen close. This is what David writes. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Oh, don't think for a minute that you can oppose Christ and nothing happens. He will surely deal with you. By the way, we still in our day have our fill of false prophets, do we not? Men like Benny Hinn with the prosperity gospel, hyper-charismatic movement. Joel Osteen, the prosperity gospel, who carries his Bible but hardly ever uses it. Ernest Ainsley, Word of Faith movement. Rob Bell and Brian McLaren with the Emergent Church. Andy Stanley with his errant theology. Of course, the Bethel movement of California with through Bethel music. They subtly bring people in through their music and then they teach false teaching. And Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel, outright heretical teaching. Of course, there's also secular false teaching. From Debbie Boone's, how can it be wrong when it feels so right? Oh, it can be way wrong. to Lady Gaga's Born This Way. From John Lennon's Imagine to Ecstasy's Dear God, there is some horrible teaching on our airwaves, and unfortunately, many of us just let it in. We just listen to it. In some cases, we even know all the words. Oops. Rats. Some cases, we know more of the words of the songs on the air than we know his word. I know a minute ago I was preaching, and now I'm meddling. I don't know about you, but when I listen to secular music, I find myself arguing with it, right? Man, that's messed up. That's not right. That's not what God says. Don't just turn your mind off and just take it all in. Think about what's being said. Fight it intellectually in your mind about what's true and what's right. Garbage in, garbage out. Right? And now, through streaming, we can pull in all kinds of horrible things. Where it used to be a little bit of an embarrassment for a church person, for a Christ person, for a Christian to be seen in our movie, you just pipe it in, watch it. The serenity of your own home, no one will know what you're watching. No one will care. And we delude ourselves with false teaching. Beloved, be careful. God will always have his way with false teachers. Lastly, this morning, God's word has the power to change lives. It really does. Notice what happens in verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Notice how the proconsul's life was changed. He was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. It was God's word that had made all the difference. How is that possible? Because of what God's word is. It's God's word. What it is tells us what it can do. And what it can do is precisely based on the fact on what it is. It's his word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains, how long? Forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It has to do with proclamation, does it not? Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Isn't that what's happened to many of us? As God gets his word and brings his hammer and lights us up through its fire. 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. His word is at work in you. Even right now, God is doing a work in you as you submit yourself to what he has to say by his grace. God's word has the power to change lives. If you're walking with Jesus right now, God's word has changed your life already, and there's more to come for all of us. Remember, I opened with a situation. Remember, it was desperate. Dave and Barb were in trouble. Remember, I told Barb that she needed to seek out what God would have her do, and I encouraged her to take some time to reflect on God's word to sort it all out. Of course, the following week, Barb called me, and she wanted to meet with me. And when we met, she told me that she had taken the whole day off this past week and spent the whole day in God's word. First of all, I was amazed that somebody actually listened to my counsel. That was amazing. She then proceeded to show me all the reasons God had convinced her on why she needed to forgive her husband. I was like, well, that's awesome. I'd like to see that myself. At which point she grabbed her Bible and she showed me verse after verse on why she needed to forgive and restore and reconcile with her husband. Of course, we then reached out to her husband, invited him to the meeting. And as you can imagine, as he walked into the office with kind of fear, trembling, he came in because he didn't know if this was the end, if it's going to be all over, or if he was going to be received. And in a moment, she just shared the reasons why she felt by God that she needed to forgive him. And the tears came. the embraces, the hugs, the reconciliation, the restoration. Yes, there was more that we needed to work through in terms of sorting out the issues in their marriage, but in that moment, God did a work. Why? Because of the power of His Word. That made all the difference, because that's what God's Word does. God's Word has the power to change lives. Beloved, over and over again, as we've seen today, throughout God's Word, we are encouraged to do all we can to preach the Word to everyone we possibly can. We need to bring others along with us as we stay on top of our spiritual disciplines through fellowship, worship, fasting, and prayer. We need to follow our calling and keep the main thing, as we make disciples through the proclamation of God's Word. And along the way, we will need to beware of false prophets. There are often opportunists who are in outright opposition to Christ. When we encounter false prophets, we need to call it what it is, knowing that God will always have His way with them. And as we continue in these things, we can have the confidence that God's Word has the power to change lives. So let's be sure that we're preaching the Word. And as we do, let's fulfill our ministry. Would you please stand with me as we close our service today? As we reflect on the message here, some questions I want to ask in closing. Are you preaching the Word? Who do you need to bring with you in your ministry? Maybe that starts at home with your spouse, inviting your spouse to join you to touch hearts and lives, or your kids, co-workers. Are you staying on top of your spiritual disciplines? Which discipline are you wrestling with? If you need help, get help. If you need help with your prayer time, your time in devotions and God's Word, or fasting, get the help that you need. Seek out resources. I'd be more than delighted to talk to you about your growth in the Lord. Grab your Bible and read it. Ask God. Seek God out about your calling in terms of what He would have you do and what He wants you to be. Keep the main thing, as you proclaim God's Word through how you live, how you love, and by what you say. Is there a false prophet that you've been listening to? Turn it off. If you're a false prophet, oh, bend your knee to Christ now, or know that you will be dealt with. You having trouble with secular media? Turn it off if you need to. Take steps. Don't just hear these things and walk away. It's very easy. I've seen people walk away. Even this day, I've seen someone walk away. Make your choices about what matters. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, oh God, help us. Lord, we need your help to understand these things and for these things to be rightly applied to our lives so that we're not deluded or confused or lost. Lord, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you for the power that's in it to change lives, changing our lives. And Lord, may we be used by you to do the same in the lives of others as we bring your truth, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness to those who are longing for it. Lord, help us not to turn away from what you have for us, but help us to pursue all the more diligently. Oh God, help us, we pray. Be our teacher, our guide. And Lord, we ask that you would protect our flock from false teaching, and that we as individuals would take responsibility for our own spiritual growth, our own spiritual disciplines. But Lord, we ask that you would grow this place for your purposes as we make proclamation, as we keep the main thing, and that is Christ and Him crucified through the preaching of your Word. Lord, thank you. Thank you for attending to us today. We want to give you all the praise. In your Son's wonderful and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Have a fantastic week. Thank you so much for coming.